verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. Boy, this is awesome now. Read with me now. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Wow. What do you see in that verse? It's say, in one word, what do you... There are several things, but what's the one thing you, when you read it? Let me read it to you again. All right? Let's read it again. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. What do you see in that? What? Faith. Let's say it together. Faith. All right. Now, look, we may close early here this morning, but I'm going to take a little inventory. Now, if we don't need this, we'll just go ahead and... But anybody here need any more faith? Oh, well, I guess we'll just go on then. Huh? Now, I want you to notice, and you know, I don't think the Bible... Now, I may be wrong, but I don't think the Bible accidentally says anything. I think every word's inspired. Every jot and tittle. You say, what's that? Well, you look it up. Every part of it is inspired of the Lord. You know, there are some doctrines that will move a comma or something and make something sound totally different. Like that scripture where they said it. Jesus told the man on the thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. They say that there's some doctrines that put a question mark at the end of it and changes the whole thing. It's like Jesus asking, you mean to tell me you're going to be with me in paradise today? In other words, it ain't going to happen. But that's not the way it is. There was not a question mark inspired. Amen. In this scripture here this morning, amen. I think God wants us to know, amen, about this man, and y'all remember his name probably, but this man who, there's so much already looking at me in this verse. The Bible said this man was a ruler, you know, a certain ruler. Of course, we learn, you know, his name is Jairus, and it just goes to show you that even though you may have arrived, in a sense, in this world, there's times in your life where your rulership or your position doesn't help. And times when it doesn't help is like when you have death. Amen? It doesn't matter. That ruler, Jairus, could have went in when his daughter got sick and said, now look, I am the ruler of this city. You cannot die. Would his authority have any bearing on that little girl dying? None. No matter how rich you are, how poor you are, what your position is. You may be the mayor of King Mountain. You're not, are you? But, you know, our authority, this man's daughter died no matter... Even though he was a man of good standing and position, how many knows it comes to all? Rich and poor meet together here. But I want you to notice about this man, and I don't know where Sister Hilda this man heard about Jesus, but there's some things in this verse, Brother Josh, that tells me what he thought about Jesus. Number one, he thought Jesus, he believed. Can you see in this verse something Jesus believed? I mean, this Jairus believed about Jesus. Can you think of anything? What do you think he believed? I wish I could preach this morning. I know it's a little hard on you. But what did he believe? What did he do when he came to Jesus? He worshipped him. So he believed that Jesus was what? know, you don't worship something that's not divine. This man, somehow or another, I don't know if he had been standing around and watching or if he just heard the news. How many knows faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord? That's one thing excited me about youth camp this year was the preaching. Children need preaching. Amen. That is their foundation. And we heard some solid preaching. If our children would believe it, it would transform their life. Here's a man that has a daughter that has been pronounced dead. And this man did not just make the funeral arrangements. Now, brother, you can say what you want to about that. But, brother, that was real faith. And somewhere in the midst of that man's heart, God breathed into him enough faith to believe, amen, that he could go to the Son of God. And, you know, when he went there, he didn't think it was some kind of fancy doctor or whatever. He worshiped him because he knew, amen, how many knows that we're going to come to God for favors? We ought to come to him with worship. Huh? What is the Lord's Prayer? What does the Lord's Prayer start out? Our Father, which art, look at this. Our Father, amen, when we pray, we must acknowledge our Father which art in heaven. And then what? Hallowed be thy name. We must begin to worship the Lord, amen, as who he is. We don't get in there and say, Lord, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make you a deal here. If you'll heal my daughter, then I'll worship you. No way. What's he going to do if he don't heal her? He's going to worship anyway. That's what Job did. Amen. When they came and told him all the bad news, the Bible said, what did the Bible say Job did? He worshiped the Lord. Amen. Now, brother, now you got to get there in life. Amen. When you get to that point where it looks like everything else is falling apart, and still you know enough about God to know that he is sovereign, he's almighty, and he's the only entity in the world that deserves our worship and praise. And so this man that had a daughter and, you know, that died and you know, just a young girl, you know, I've had three children, and I know what that would be like in a sense. And some of you are here that's had daughters that you've buried or a loved one that you've put in the grave. Amen. And it's a heart-wrenching thing. Amen. But this man left his daughter where she lay. Amen. And went and found somebody that could do something about it. Hallelujah. Y'all still believe in this? While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him. And then while he worshiped him, I want you to notice what he said. He was not disillusioned about what was going on. He said, my daughter is dead. And then when he worshiped and said, my daughter is dead, then he says, but here's what I believe. The Bible's faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. I know my daughter is dead, but I also know there is a factor here that makes a difference. That factor is that you are the Son of Almighty God, and in your hand is the power of life or death. Huh? How many believe that this morning? And so, and you know, and I know a lot of times we've prayed and we've said, Lord, and I've heard people pray, I'm having surgery, and they say, pray that God will direct that doctor's hand. Well, let's just bypass the doctor. Are you listening? And just pray, Lord, heal that. Forget the cut. How many believe you can do it? Come on, church. Now, I'm not saying, don't get, you listen, you know what I'm saying. So he went to her and he said, my daughter's been pronounced dead. You might have a situation in your life that you think are hopeless. Brother, I've never seen anybody, not too many raised from the dead. I saw a man over at the camp meeting that fell over with a heart attack and was out. And I when they cried, I don't remember what they said, I need help or he's died. And I ran straight over there. I just felt impressed to go. I went straight to where he was at. I got there about the time Brother Gabbard, amen, got to the man and he was out. They could not find a pulse. And those men prayed for that brother, and he's still alive. And I remember, he's helping me. I remember Smith Wigglesworth reading about him and how he came up and that man was dead and he just had him get him out of the bed, and him a dead man. And he just said, they said, he's already dead. He said, look, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. Get him out of the bed, stand him on his feet, and you know the rest of the story. Now, if he'd have just fell over dead, they wouldn't have wrote it in the book, but it was in the book. He lived. Now you say, well, look, hey, you may have a situation in your life this morning. I've had many of them where I thought it was hopeless, it's dead, but then something in my heart, amen, was born in my heart and said, you know, it might be if I'll take this problem to Jesus, amen, it might be that this thing can come back alive. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I was a preacher this morning. You're in this house. It may not be a sickness. It may not be a tragedy like this man had. But there's a crisis in your life. Amen. That the whole wide world has said dead on arrival. But if you'll leave that thing laying there and go to the Son of God who has all power in heaven and earth, it could be turned around. Can you say amen? How many knows that it has been turned around? Many times. So he says to this man says to the Lord, he worships him first. And I tell you, we need to have a spirit of worship. I remember one young man, I went to him trying to get him back to the Lord. He said, I'm not coming back to the Lord. The Lord's done me wrong. Well, I knew that wasn't true. You know, the man did it. I mean, he backslid. And I remember he got really bad, went back on drugs and went out of his mind. And I remember I would see him out, and I'd try to witness to him, and he'd even try to scare me, Brother Mac, off him. Get away from me. Don't you come over here. You know, like that, just crazy like that. But, you know, the fella got saved again. And when he got saved again, God gloriously saved the fella. And he got back in, got to singing and worshiping the Lord and writing songs, and he didn't live long, lived a couple years and died. But he got back with God. And he told me after that, he said, you know why I would scream at you and threaten you? He said, I couldn't stand it. I knew what you was going to say to me. And I didn't want to hear it. I was so full of the devil. He said, and you know, I told you, and he told me, he said, I told you, God hadn't done me wrong. He said, I just got, I'm going to tell you, amen, we can worship the Lord. God will never do you wrong. Huh? I said, God will never do you wrong. This man came to Christ, and he knew who he was. He knew a lot about Christ because he worshiped him. And then he asked him, he told him, if you'll lay your hand on her, she'll live. Brother Zane, we've been here. How many times have you been right here? Huh? No hope. He ain't going to make it. She's going to be a widow. Them boys are going to be orphans. But God laid his hand on him, and here he is. Huh? How many believes enough if God will lay his hand on him, they'll live. Well, you know the story, and let me tell you what this next verse, and then we have an interruption that we'll talk about next Sunday from his journey to raise Jairus' daughter. He had a little interruption we'll teach about, but I'm not done with this lesson this morning. I'm going to tell you the greatest part about this. It's not, y'all, are y'all on verse 19? Now, verse 20 is wonderful. And I see faith. And Brother Darrell and Sister Loretta, hey man, we need faith for you all. Hey man, we need this kind of faith this man had. Hey man, when the doctors give you three choices and they're all three horrible, hey man, then we need Christ to lay his hand on the situation. Come on, church. Amen. Let's see if we can't go and worship the Lord. I think every service we come, we ought to come with worship because we need this done. And not only this, but other situations in this life. And as our economy goes down and our culture gets more immoral, we're going to need more grace to overcome. And we're going to have to realize, hey, we got somewhere we can take this where we won't have to bury this. Amen. It can come back alive. But I want you to notice then, look at verse 19. What do you see in verse 19? What do you see when you look at verse 19? We saw faith in verse 18. What do we see in verse 19? What did it say? Christ responded to faith. And he left immediately and followed them, Amen. Followed him to the house where there was a little girl. What was she, 12 years old? Can't remember one of the Gospels tells. They went to that little old girl's house. I'm not going to finish it up. We'll finish it up later. But here's what it said. Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Sweet Lamb of God. Amen. The Lord followed him, and so did his disciples. They didn't have to have a board meeting. They didn't have to flip coins. When they saw the Lord's intentions, they followed the Lord to see what was going to happen. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I believe this morning, I'm going to quit right here. Y'all weary and tired. But I'm going to tell you, I believe with all of my heart the Son of God was willing when this man asked him to come home with him, and his faith said, it didn't say, there's a good chance, Lord, if you'll lay your hand on him, her, that she might get better. He said, if you'll lay your hand on. How many knows, now, this is a kind of sidetrack, but brother, how many knows that there's something about the laying on of hand? Huh? And I'm not talking about like some of them kids were doing last night in the shadows, laying hands on. You understand? But there is a sanctified laying of hands. That there's something, Brother Zane, you know what I'm talking about the Holy Ghost power, that you transfer somehow or another your faith and energy by the hand on the head of someone else. Understand what I'm saying? Now, I know we're in an age where you know, it's best that the men, you know, understand what I'm saying, and the ladies. But, you know, when you come up for a man of God, amen, and you anoint with oil, I mean, you know, a hand on the head, you understand what I'm saying? It is a decent and a sanctified thing. But now the Son of God, now I'm going to tell you, I ain't in much of this free love services. Everybody hugs everybody. I just don't be doing that around here. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to just drop that in there. But I'm telling you, the Son of God, he said, look, if you'll lay your almighty, creating, powerful hand, amen, upon this girl, she's going to get up. And you know what the Bible, you know, how many knows that the Bible said the Lord is not willing that any should perish? I see in verse 19 the will of my Savior. And the will of my Savior was to go and honor this man's faith and teach his disciples a lesson and to teach us a lesson. That the Lord, amen, is willing to lay his hand on this dead girl and bring her back to life. You know, it is appointed unto man once to die. But there's also times when people die before their time. How many knows that's in the Bible? Why will you die before your time? I think when somebody gets sick, you know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to pray. Anoint with oil and pray and let the prayer of faith, amen, save the sick and the Lord raise them up. Now, there's going to be times we're going to fall over. I mean, you see me flop? Yes, one of these days I'm going to flop over like that. Y'all going to have to carry me out. We'll be singing on the hill, huh? But until then, I'm going to live. And when the devil afflicts me or I get some kind of sickness that gets a hold of me, and you know, the world is full of sin and disease and sickness, and you're liable to catch something out. You do not have divine health. You hear what I'm saying? If you get in where there's a germ or a virus, you're going to catch it, amen. But, brother, if it's not unto death, we can pray and say, Lord, heal this, and God will heal it. How many believe this? Amen. And so this man believed that Christ was the healer. He also believed that he had compassion and he would go. He would travel the distance it took to get there. Now, these disciples might have, you know, they might have said, hey, we're in the midst of this seminar. We ain't got time to come over here. You know, bury the girl and let's get it on with it. But not the Son of God. He showed them what his will was. Stand with me. God bless you. Building on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We need our faith. Amen. 100, 100.